All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, April 2nd of 2025, and looking to hear, we've had MLB action going on all day long here. Sites kind of handled it a little bit differently. FanDuel ran a bunch of smaller slates with their main slate still this afternoon. DraftKings ran a big 1 p.m. Eastern main slate. So good luck to you and all of your MLB slates today. We do also have a 9-game NBA slate. And then over in the NHL streets, we have a 5-game main slate there. We have golf teeing off early tomorrow morning. So a lot of people probably building their lineups today for the Valero Texas Open. So ton of DFS action coming at you all week long here. For those of you who are new, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual support channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Figured we would build some lineups today for the FanDuel MLB main slate in a couple hours here. So why don't we get SaberSim pulled up, and why don't we get going or just start answering a couple questions that came in here before the show. So first question today is a FanDuel MLB question. Good morning. I built 312 MLB lineups on FanDuel yesterday for the main slate. I did the 150 max, 150 in the 25 cent, and a combination of a single entry and 3 max. When I ran my sims, my max destination ROI was less than 100, and my mid and min were negative. That was without me making any adjustments. Is there anything I should do or work on to get my ROI percentages up so I can start with a more positive min ROI when I run into these situations? When I run my filter so that I don't have any lineups with a negative ROI, it gets rid of over 4,500 lineups. Okay, good question. So we could probably just do something like this. So let's see. So let's turn off the squeeze. So we'll do the 25 cent. Let's turn off the squeeze. I'm assuming you did the 25, the 5. Let's go by fee here. And then we did like 12, right? So like 1 lineup, 4 lineups. Wait, that was wrong. 3 max. So do like a single entry, a 3 max. Maybe there's $2. 1, 2, 3, that's 5. Maybe this $3, 3 max. What is that? 3, 6, 8. And what else we got? Maybe this $5, 3 max. That's 11. Trying to get to 312. 3, 6, 9, 11. That's $1, $2. So we need one more single entry. Looks like there's a $5 single entry. Cool. So portfolio probably looks something like this, right? And this could be like our slate demo for the day too. Just kind of two birds, one stone it. So we have 250 maxes, mix of single entries and 3 max. Overall, this is a good contest mix. In case you guys are following our, trying to follow our bankroll recommendations here. You know, this is a nice, solid balance, right? I really like this. So we've nailed the contest selection, right? First and foremost, nailed the contest selection. That's great. Now, let's go build some lineups, right? And this teaser was on Ultimate using Contest Sims. So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go 5,000. I'm actually going to use new build. Let's just use a brand new build. And we'll get rid of this one. Okay, so we're in a new build. And we go 5,000. And we're not going to make any other changes here, right? So without making any adjustments. Cool. So we just kick this off. So I have an idea about what's going wrong here. But we're going to test it and we're going to find out. So let's see here. I'm actually curious while this builds how everybody's doing so far today. So big huge slate this morning. Man, the Cubs cannot stop scoring runs. It's been pretty wild to watch. Cubs are just insane. Oh, the Cardinals ended up scoring 12 runs. Last time I saw it, it was like 2-1 Cardinals. Dang. They popped off late here. Oh, they scored 7 runs in the 8th inning. That's what happened there. Wow. Good day to stat Cardinals. Who else? It's kind of it. They're lone wolf standing out. Texas wasn't on the DK main slate, only on the FanDuel very early slate. So pretty interesting stuff today. All right, let's get back to this build. Lineups are finishing up here. And lineups are about done. Should this auto run? Yep, sure will. So we have the run contest sim automatically after build button on. So let's let this run. Actually, it's kind of interesting. So I don't think the builder is going to give us. So this is what I think is going wrong here, okay? Which is what I wanted to test. So I think what's happening, and I could be wrong, but I think this is what's happening. The user is in Directville, and they are using target ROI across all of these contests that we've enabled. And their contests are so different. You know, we have contests with 60,000 entries, contests with 30,000 entries, contests with 100 entries, right? Now, they're getting a blended ROI. Right? Because when you are in Directville and you have all of your contests chosen in this drop down here, what the builder does is it averages the ROI across all your contests and gives you and ranks the lineups based on the average. Now, the only way you can actually see how many of your lineups are going into the trash is if you're doing it in Directville. When you go to autofill and you put in a filter, you're not going to see how many of your lineups went into the trash. The only way to do it right would be to select one contest at a time. And then you get different numbers of lineups in the trash for every contest, which is why they gave me one number, 4,500. So I think they're doing a blended thing here. Now, if you are doing a blended version, these contests are so different in payout structure, in size, that I think it's really going to come out looking funny, kind of the way you talked about here. So what I would try, right, is if you're going to use, you know, the target ROI, then go through here one at a time and only check one contest, okay? The other way to do it would be to sort. No, yeah, you're going to have to check one contest at a time because that's going to affect your filter, right? If you come in here, and then you say, hey, I want to do a filter for all of my contests, right? Then you would have to tell the builder which contests to look at. So I think that is what is happening here, is that you're filtering based on a blended ROI. And I think that it is driving your average ROI down based on some of the sizes and payout structures. So try doing it one at a time. But I don't think you should ever run out of lineups, okay? Another thing is, I was actually having a conversation with somebody in sport about this earlier, like when to kind of use unique rank versus rank. Me personally, if I'm playing less than 100, 150 lineups, I will use unique rank. If I'm playing 100, 150 lineups or more, then I'm typically going to use rank, Phil. Okay. So what I would recommend here in this case is one, use autofill because it will automatically use contest specific ROI when filling your lineups. Number two is I would still use the ROI greater than zero filter because I think that's good. And then number three is I would probably switch to rank fill if you're playing, you know, this, if this is your portfolio of contests, I think it's fine to use rank fill in this instance because you have so many lineups, right? Rank fill doesn't guarantee you're going to overlap or play lineups more than once, but it allows the lineup to be used more than once if the builder deems that that lineup is good in more than one contest, okay? So every ROI is its own sorting metric, and you will sometimes get overlap with that approach. So I would try that. Autofill, ROI filter, rank. You could also see the impact that it has by going to direct, selecting only one contest at a time, using target ROI sorting, target ROI filter. Try that as well, and then you'll see basically different number of lineups in the trash. So like what it'll look like is this, right? We go in here and we say, hey, I want to use ROI. You know, make sure it is this specific ROI, right? We'll do the pinch hit. Pinch hit greater than zero. Click, okay, click save. And then here I can see, hey, 2,000 lineups went in the trash when I used the pinch hit. Okay, well then what if that was a, you know, 25 cent 150 max? What if I got to do something small like the bunt, right? Bunt, which is a single entry, greater than zero. So now it's recalculating what my lineups go in the trash. And then once it's done, I go and look. So before it was 2,000, right? Now it's 2,700. So more lineups are worse for the bunt than for the quarter 150 max, right? Now when you're actually averaging all these, the ROIs get really muddy and they kind of get driven down, right? That's what I think is happening. That's why I want to go with this individualized approach. And then each time it fills a contest, you're going to have more lineups available for that specific contest. Okay. So try those recommendations out. Let me know how they go, but that's what I think you're running into. All right. Next question. Andrew, do the PGA Sims take into account wave advantage and weather? Do the Sims update as the weather forecast changes leading up to lock, or do I need to make rules if I want to take advantage of this? Okay. Good question. So let's go over to golf. So we'll go to golf. Oops. Unselect all. Just do DK. 4-3. Ooh, Masters is coming up fast. Very, very fast. All right. So yeah, the golf slate pulled up. So let's talk about weather. So SaberSim takes into account weather on a daily basis. We basically have a forecast in the sim saying, hey, it's going to be this temperature, winds are going to be this speed, and you know, this is what you can expect the impact to be on the course. Okay, so weather is taken into account daily. Now, we are not taking into account weather on an hourly basis, which is how you get wave advantages. Okay, so if you are looking at weather forecast, Kevin Roth dashboard, all that good stuff, and saying like, hey, you know, there's more wind in the morning, and then it kind of dies down in the afternoon. And, you know, the PM AM wave seems to have a little bit better weather than the AM PM wave. And you want to take advantage of that, right? First off, SaberSim is not taking into account that hourly weather, like we talked about. So that is a good place to add some value. Now, the best way to do that, in my opinion, is to use the tee times column. Okay. So I like to come in here, sort by tee time, kind of just scroll down and then see where there's like a big gap, right? So we scroll. Okay. Here it is, right? There's a big gap from this 12:30 p.m. and then 9:21 a.m. tee times, right? So there's like, this is clearly the difference between the morning wave and the afternoon wave, right? So we said that in our example, the afternoon wave was better, right? Okay, well, if the afternoon wave is better, then you probably want to play more golfers from the afternoon wave. So one of the best ways to do that is to just come in here and then do a group auto rule. Now, you could be as, what's the word I'm looking for? Hold on. We're having trouble streaming on X, apparently. Don't know why. One second. All right. Not sure what's happening there, but it's okay. All right. So getting back to this, right? There's a couple different ways to do this. Now, if you want to say, hey, I know the afternoon wave is good. I want to at least have three players from the afternoon wave. Sure. You know, if I want to be aggressive, well, I want to favor the afternoon wave and use at least four or at least five, right? Or I want all my golfers to be from the afternoon wave. You know, you could be as aggressive or as conservative as you want here, but some version of use at least X. For me, I usually go use at least four. That way I know I'm favoring the wave 4-2. And then you go to this add requirement. Okay. So for requirements, you go to tee time before or after. We're going to use after in this instance. And then I'm going to say 9:30, right? 0930 a.m. Okay. So always two numerical values per thing here, 0930 a.m. Okay. And then I would save that, right? And then if I wanted to like look at this and like see what it's actually doing, I could save it as a manual rule. So if I save it as manual and I go and open this up, it's grabbing all of the golfers after 9:30. Putting them in one big group rule so I don't have to sit here and click each individual one and then saying use at least four of these players. Okay, so that is what the rule is doing. All right, good stuff there. Next question. When watching Jordan's latest video on MLB late swapping, it doesn't really fiddle with the mini unique setting. Is it standard practice to leave it set to one for late swapping regardless of the setting I used during my initial build? Okay, so I would say that the standard advice is going to be to match whatever uniques you used pre-slate, okay? And part of that is because your lineups are optimized for that number, right? When you late swap, well, you're coming back to the slate and a certain number of games players are being locked into your lineups, right? As the games lock, your diversification is locking with it, right? So that diversification is like already there. You might have a certain number of uniques depending on what point you are in the slate, no matter what you do. Even if you set it to one, doesn't mean it's going to be one, right? So I think general practice is you can get to the same number you got to previously. Now, something that I do, right, is depending on how my lineups are performing will determine the unique number I want. So the way I do this is I go to autofill because late swap is autofill technology, right? So let's actually go to the video. Why don't we do that? All right, go to Saber School, go to this late swap video. Let this render. Okay, cool. So we're here, right? This is what late swap looks like. So what I do is I go to one unique. First off, I don't use min, max, median. I just use average. Personal preference here, but we could use median as like an example, right? So I don't know if he just like did really bad here or he hasn't saved yet. Let's see. Play. Try and forward through this. My guess is he hasn't saved. Okay, yeah. So here he saved, right? Because the destinations change. Okay, so this is how I think about uniques and late swap, right? So here, notice how his median destination ROI is about 3%, right? And he's at one unique. So usually when you use ROI, or when you use uniques, sorry, you're trading ROI for uniqueness, right? In that case, because my median is already 3%, I'm like pretty sure if I start to go up that my median is going to dip into the negative. I basically want to avoid negative ROI lineups like at all costs. So here I'm not going to change it, right? Now, let's say my median is like 100%, 80%. Well, I might be willing to start to go up and see how it changes. So what that would look like is clicking the gear icon, changing the uniques, say to 2, saving again, seeing how what the new number is. If it doesn't move by much, okay, changing the number to 3, saving again, checking the new number, and then basically just like going in this like triangle until I'm satisfied where I've gotten some uniqueness, haven't sacrificed too much ROI to do so. Now, same thing, like if this is like 3%, or if it's negative, then I'm just rolling with 1 and I'm trying to salvage as much ROI as I possibly can. But the point is, try to avoid negative ROI lineups. Try to get diversification when your lineups are performing well, and try and strike a balance. So that's my opinion there with regards to that. Now, if you're not on Ultimate, right, and you can't judge that, I think it's probably fine to just go with the pre-slate min uniques like we talked about, because every time players lock, you are locking in your diversification. So it's going to be very easy to get back to the same number you started with. If you started with 3, if you started with 4, and you know, we're at a point where, you know, we're halfway through the slate, I think it's fine to just go with what you already had. So that's my opinion there on the different ways to approach that. Jimmy Type is here. You are welcome. Appreciate you following up. All right. F. Lopez says, there a way to download whole pool after running contest sims with just 5 and 4 stacks? I don't know. Okay. So what I would do is, What can we do? All right. So let's try this. So set your lineups. Let's turn this off. All right. So set your lineups to your whole pool. Okay. So we're going to, or yeah, no, lineups, we'll say to 5,000. And then I think I would do a filter. Let's see if we can filter. No, maybe. No, it's not going to work. Okay, filter is not going to work. Let's go to stack exposures. And maybe I would just try using the magnifying glass. What can we do here? Basically, what you have to do is figure out a way to get 3 stacks or less into the trash. And if you do that, then it would work. So what I'm thinking here is maybe we filter for all the 3 stacks. So 3s, 2s. No, these are combinations. Okay, I know what you have to do. So you have to magnifying glass the 3s, trash them. It'll trash the selected lineup. See how it's going to send 235, which is the lineups that we have here, to the trash. Okay, trash. And then you would basically need to do that for every stack type. So 2 2s, Okay, trash those. And then once you're done with that, right, now all of the lineups that you don't want are going to be in the trash. Then you can just switch over to your pool, which will be your remaining lineups. And then you can use the download CSV button here. So that is what you would have to do in order to build a pool and then only download 4 and 5 stacks. So you would have to trash all of the other lineups one by one. So a little tedious, but it can be done. And it's possible there's another option, but that is the first one that came to my mind here as a potential way to do it. All right. So far, so good. If Lopez said thank you, you're welcome. Let's take a peek in the office hours channel. All good there. So why don't we finish this build demo? Let's go back to lineups. All right. So let's say I want to build 150 lineups for all my contests in question. Well, it's not the best demo. So if I was actually playing like this portfolio of contests, I would be using autofill. I obviously don't have an entry file with all these contests, so I can't demo that. But let's just say we're building 150 for one of them, and we're going to use those across all our contests. First off, I'd probably pick the contest with the highest prize pool, which would probably be the 25 cent. And it's like, hey, I'm just going to optimize for the 25 cent and let it have like a trickle-down effect to the rest of my contests. Let's reset these. I was doing a demo earlier showing people how to move columns around, so I messed a bunch of stuff up. All right, that seems fine. All right, so we're sorting by the 25 cent, 150. You got average ROI from the 25 cent. And sorting by exposure. I actually want to switch leverage and pool. Looks good. Okay, cool. So we're about ready to rock and roll here. I like to start with stack exposures. Seeing 3 or 4 stacks, reminder, FanDuel 4 stack is the most you can go here. No 2 stacks, so that seems good to me. Team stacks. 40% on a couple teams here. Seems okay. You might end up with like some smaller stacks because you don't get 5s as much, right? It's like 4 2-2s and things like that. So those can count as additional stacks. That's why stack percentage isn't going to add up to 100%, in case you guys are aware, because there could be multiple stacks within a lineup. So go back to all, go back to exposures. So this one's kind of interesting. I've talked about different ways of building. I think we're going to go with a little bit different approach here today. Try something new. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So before I was like, okay, stacks, teams, pitchers, batters. Let's just try the min unique approach, right? So we go from like 1 to 4 uniques. We watch how our aggregate metrics change to 112.6 and like 62%. And we get down to 112.2, 55.9%. We barely sacrifice like 6-7% ROI. And we've got a bunch of diversification in our lineups, right? Okay, cool. So 4 is good. Accidentally went to 6. I meant to go to 5. So 6 is like a big drop, right? 56 to 18%. We'd probably walk that back a little bit here. So let's go back to 5. Okay, 5 is like 44% ROI, 111.4. You could figure out like which one you like more between like 4 and 5. I think both are like pretty viable. The way I would figure it out is I would go back and check the things that we were already looking at. So, okay, we had like team stacks and like the 40%. But what are they now? Okay, now the highest is 35, 31, 30. So we got a lot flatter here. We go back to players. We go to pitchers. All right. So super flat at pitcher, like no one more than 10%. So very, very flat there. And then taking a stand on Aaron Judge and then like kind of falls off after there. So this is like a very, very balanced approach. This like five uniques where you're going to try and play close to the field, take some small stands and diversify a lot. Or you could go back to four, right? Four is probably going to be a little bit more leveraged. So we go back to four. Okay. Some of our exposure to some of the pitchers goes up a little bit. Like Zach Wheeler, we're starting to get some leverage. Eflin's starting to get some leverage. Batters go back up like 36, as opposed to like 31 being the highest, right? So taking a couple more stands on some batters here in like teams. So you got to figure out which one matters, which one speaks to you the most, you know, the four, the five, but this is like a different way of also building good MLB lineups, right? Like yesterday I talked about, you know, like a one mean unique kind of approach, looking at like batters, teams, kind of individually. Here I'm going with like the unique approach, still holding our metrics strong, but getting diversification and letting the builder kind of figure out the rest. So, you know, the point is there's more than one path to victory. There's more than one way to build good lineups. And this kind of shows you the difference if you like watch yesterday's show, watch today's show. So I hope this is giving you guys some ideas. You know, one of the best things that you could do is, you know, take pieces from everywhere, right? You watch one of Jordan's videos, you watch, you know, Office Hours, you watch other stuff, right? And you kind of figure out what pieces of everybody's process you like, and then you ultimately build your own and, you know, iterate on it from there. So trying to give you guys some different perspectives and ideas. But looks like we're caught up with questions in the YouTube chat and Discord. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.